Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of the cross. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and worship you. And God, this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that as we look at your scripture, God, that it would just speak the truth in our hearts. God, and that our hearts would long for that. We would long to spend time with you and grow closer to you. God, that's my prayer this morning for all of us. Because the cross demands our lives, it demands our soul, and it demands our all. And God, I just pray, Lord, that that's what we'd be willing to put on the table today and nothing less. Just ask God that you would just move in our hearts, God, that if there are things that are keeping us from just getting to you this morning, God, that we would overcome those things. God, that you would overcome those things so that we could meet with you. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Everybody doing okay this morning? Everybody doing all right? Everybody on this side okay? Thank you. Thank you. I want you to just real quick, again, this week we're kind of not doing the usual welcome thing that we usually do. And so if you're visiting with us, just know that there's a little thing in the back, the worship guide. We'd love for you to fill that out and drop it in the plate later in the service or the baskets or whatever they are. You can tell I'm a church person because I said plate, and we've never used plates here, I don't think. This is the closest to plates as we've had. Do me a favor, though, and I want you just to kind of turn to the people around you and just kind of say hello, just ask them how they're doing real quick. Just do that right now. Just check on folks if you don't mind. We want them to feel welcome. If you've never seen them before, say, I've never seen you before. You're funny looking. I want to just pose a question to you this morning. I just want to ask you something that you've probably asked yourself before, but you know it's one of those questions that we probably don't ask enough, and we tend to fall into things because we don't ask it. But I just want to ask you the question, and this is not a trick question. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty with this question either, by the way, so please don't take this as that. But why are you here? Why'd you come this morning? And just to kind of expound off that question, let me just kind of bounce this one off of you. Why do we worship? What's the point? And worship is a word that, you know, we throw around a lot, and we have worship guides and we have worship services, and you can buy now worship CDs, and you know, I think you could probably buy like a worship toolkit or something probably at Lifeway if you stand at the checkout long enough. But there's just, you know, we've so loosely begun to use this word, worship, to the point that I think for a lot of us that maybe we're just kind of forgetting what the point is, what the purpose is. I want to read this passage of Scripture to you, and it's out of the book of Matthew, chapter 15, and I'm just going to read you just a quick part of it. But in verses 7 through 9, Jesus actually begins to quote Isaiah, and he's been talking with like the religious leaders. And typical of Jesus, hanging out with the religious leaders, he starts questioning everything that they're doing. And they're teaching and talking, their noise, and Jesus turns around, and kind of what happens here is they have all these rituals of getting themselves ready to eat, getting themselves ready to worship, whatever. This particular ritual was a ritual of washing your hands to show God that you've been cleansed, that you're clean. And of course, Jesus doesn't wash his hands. He's that little kid that hates to wash his hands. And so the Pharisees, these guys, the religious leaders, they're all, you know, just getting so wound up. And they're like, Jesus, you didn't wash your hands. Shame on you for not washing your hands. Jesus quotes Isaiah in this passage of Scripture. And in fact, he says, verse 7, this is how he answers these guys when they try to call him out on not washing his hands. He says, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Verse 8, it says, these people honor their lips, but their hearts, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Worship is one of those things that should flow from our hearts. It's not a, hey, let's wind up the toy on Sunday morning. It's not a, hey, let's wind up the toy when the conversation comes up with somebody during the week. Worship is something that should radiate from who we are. I just want to break this down for you. Whatever you spend the majority of your time on is what you worship. And that is a hard thing for me to digest. And probably a very hard thing for the majority of us to digest. Because for the most of us, we're worshiping money, okay? Because if it's job, it's money. And you say, well, Chris, I got to take care of my family. I'm all about taking care of our family. We've bought into the American thing that we've got to have, got to have, got to have. And that's overcome us to the nth degree. And I think we're all guilty of that probably today. I haven't seen anybody living in a hut eating crawfish out of the creek. But what we worship is so important. You see, God made us ready to do this thing called worship. Wired us up to do this thing called worship. In such a way that we would be driven to do it. I mean, driven from our hearts to do it. And what winds up happening is that the things of this world wind up stealing that passion from us. And our passion gets driven toward other things instead of the work of God, instead of the kingdom of God. You say, Chris, I know this. I know this too, but I'm just going to tell you, I struggle with it. And I'm just putting myself out there and saying, you know, this is something I deal with, and it's one of those things that I don't know anybody that doesn't. If you're in a relationship with the Lord, you're going to spend the rest of your life overcoming the things of this world in order to try to live for the kingdom of God. These guys, Jesus kind of calls them out, and he's like, look, your lips are honoring me, but your hearts are saying otherwise. And the truth be known is, I think for a lot of us, we get caught in going through the motions. I have a lot of people say, oh, you know, I love 24 Church. One of the reasons I love 24 Church is because, you know, it's not the same thing every week. And there's some purpose behind that. But even beyond that, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, it makes it so much easier to not just go through the motions. Well, I'm just here to tell you today that if you've been coming to 24 Church for a while, you can probably amen this or whatever, but it doesn't take long to be anywhere and to get to where you can go through the motions. Going through the motions doesn't mean that you're traditional or that you're whatever. Going through the motions is something that we can all fall into, just like these guys, that Jesus was saying, look, you're honoring me with your lips, but your heart says otherwise. Verse 9 says, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And it's so important that our heart is in sync with God and is in sync with His heart. Another passage of Scripture that we have this morning, and this is just out of Mark chapter 12, and it says in verse 30, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The greatest commandment, as Jesus put it, the greatest commandment. I want you just to kind of think about this for just a second, because, you know, we've got the whole book of the Bible, and in the entire book of the Bible, we have Christ giving us one time the greatest commandment. It's like, okay, you know, let's take the cliff notes on this thing and let's break it down, because, you know, busy, don't have a lot of time to read. At least let's get something today. And the something of today is that this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. Worship me. Love God from your heart. I had a conversation with somebody this week that just absolutely broke my heart. And it's not a church relationship, which is I enjoy getting to meet people that have nothing to do with our church, just for the simple fact of just they'll be willing to talk to me sometimes in ways that other people won't. And as we sat there and talked, and he began to just tell me about all the junk that had happened in his life. And he's a believer, but he's got a lot of big doubts. And he's had a lot of crazy, stupid, crazy stuff happen in his life that I almost couldn't even, and I couldn't argue with him about some of the doubts that he had about who God was and why God would allow some of these things to happen to him. And what I was seeing in him that day was I was seeing that there are roadblocks between him and God. And this morning, you may be just hanging out here and you may just be, you know, going, Chris, there are roadblocks between me and God. I've got some issues with God. This is what they are. I've written them out. They're on a chalkboard at home. I don't know. But you're thinking, I've got some issues. I've got some stuff that's keeping me from loving God with all of my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. And you're not alone. And I just want you to understand something this morning, is that when we worship, we are connecting with our Savior. We are connecting with our God in such a way that we grow more and more like Him. Our heart grows more and more like Him. And as that begins to happen, we become completed as who we've been called to be as people. You see, we've got these missing pieces. And with these missing pieces, we're finding that we're trying all this other stuff to make us happy. Oh, I can't work enough. I can't make enough money. I can't, you know, all this stuff. And it's like all this other stuff is basically ruling us in place of God getting to do that. And what would happen if God began to do that? Last week we read from Isaiah 1, and that passage of Scripture was all about making sure, again, that we're right with the Lord, that our worship wouldn't be detestable to God, that it would be real, that it would be from our heart. We fall into that because we replace God with other things in our lives. And in that passage of Scripture, it gave just a little bit of insight. Just a little bit of insight into some of the things that we would be doing if our heart resonated with the heart of God. If our lives were about the kingdom and not about us, we would do things like we would be pleading the case of the fatherless, that we would be taking care of the widow, that we would be defending orphans. Does this sound familiar? Because I'm watching the news, and I'm hearing other people in our world that aren't even Christians going, hey, we've got to do something about the suffering in our world. And we've quit doing that because it's too much for us to handle. And we've missed, in essence, one of the biggest callings that we've ever had as Christians on this planet is to meet the needs of people that are suffering, people that are dying, people that are afflicted, people that are going through painful things, whatever it is. God has called us to that. But I want us to understand something this morning. We will never get to that as long as we are about us. And just so you know, even what we do here on Sunday mornings, this is not about us. This is not about us. This is about us coming and meeting with God. This is about what we've got to give to Him. This is not consumer Christianity. This is not about what we can get. This is about what we can give. And so many of us have missed that. And we've missed it because we've been programmed by this world to get. And I'm just here to tell you today that it's backwards in the kingdom. God has called us to give to Him. And this morning, I know that this might just be just really like a train wreck all of a sudden happening for you because you just came to church this morning with a friend or you know, you just came and you thought, oh, you know, hope I get something out of today. There's nothing wrong with wanting to grow in Christ. there's something wrong when we don't want to worship Him and we don't want to give to Him. This morning, I just want to kind of throw that out there and just say the reason that we worship is because we love God. The reason we worship is because our hearts can't help it, because we've been saved. And I know, you know, we're not a real excited people. We're, you know, we just kind of tend to want to, you know, we just said, or we just, you know, don't want to, you know, get too crazy or anything. You know, I don't want to make a fool out of us, or, you know, have, you know, people not want to sit next to us next weekend or whatever. But I'm just here to tell you that us being saved is a huge thing. I mean, it's like a big, big thing. I mean, it's about as big as anything that I can come up with. I don't know anything bigger than the fact that my Savior died on a cross to save me from the pits of hell. Despite the fact that I'm an idiot and I'm full of sin and all of those things, He still loved me and He still saved me. That's amazing. I worked for a while for a friend of mine, and one of the things that I got to do that I really enjoyed, and this will be no surprise to many of you, one of the things that I got to do for him that I really enjoyed was we worked on a 1969 Z28 Camaro, restoring it. He took this car apart, I think it's about 15 years ago now, and he has slowly but surely been putting this car back together. If you go into the shop, and the Camaro has its own room in the shop, if you go into the Camaro room, and that's what it's referred to as, if you go in the Camaro room, the car is there, but it's not complete. It's kind of like a rolling chassis at this point. I've seen it in many stages, obviously. And at many times, and even now, if you look up in the ceiling, there are parts hanging from the ceiling of this car. This car that really is worth a gob of money and is just one of the most beautiful machines that you've ever seen, if you can appreciate that, and you may or may not be able to do so. But this car and each and every individual part are so perfect. I'm a car guy, and I'm just going to tell you, I've never seen a car as perfect as this car in every single way, every single part. And I've been a part of restorations where, you know, you do each part or whatever, and I'm just saying, overkill on each and every individual piece on this car. And every piece has been painted, it's all done, but it's in parts. And the parts are hanging from the ceiling, and the chassis on the floor, and, you know, at times the motor's been on a stand, and it's just like, it's crazy, you know, the seats and the interior over here, and, you know, I remember the first time I took my wife over there, and she saw this, and she was almost kind of mortified, because she'd never seen a car all apart or something, and it just kind of scared her at first, but, you know, I go in there, and I look at that thing, and I see all these pieces, and I think, man, what an incredible car that's going to be one day. And I see in us something very similar. I see in us, oftentimes me, I see myself not completed, not put together because my heart has refused to worship. And without me worshiping, without my heart syncing up with the heart of God, what winds up happening is I am left incomplete. And parts of me may look wonderful, but I'm not complete. And when we're not complete, we can't fulfill the task of what God has called us to do. And you may be here this morning, and you may just be kind of, you know, sinking, letting all this sink in on you, but I'm just here to tell you, without true worship in your heart, without your heart syncing up with the heart of God, you are not going to fulfill who God has called you to be. You will not be able to carry out your purpose. I can't go to that shop right now and get in that car and drive it down the street. It won't happen. It's not together. And many of us are just like it in the sense that we too are incomplete. And God can't use us because we've not readied ourselves. This week and last week, the whole purpose in doing this was we just really felt like it was a point in our church's life where we just needed to draw together. We needed to talk about worship, and we needed to talk about the purpose of worship and the why of worship and the pitfalls of not falling into things so that our worship is not detestable to God. And I just want to encourage you this morning with this. Love God. celebrate what he has done in your life. Celebrate what he has done in our world. Worship him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And I'm just going to tell you, if you can do that, you are unlocking freedom that you've never had in your life. Freedom that you never thought you would ever experience in your life is going to come your way. But I'm just telling you, it only comes when it's about him. It can't be about us. Worship is not for us. Worship is for God. And it's because we love him.